there are endless elements you can A/B split test. So kind of having a plan and a really clear strategy of attack for that, and then making sure you're continually measuring and testing.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, each month we focus on a different marketing method like email or SEO or Facebook ads. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. This month we are all about email marketing. Last time we got into using predictive tools to improve your email marketing in lots of different ways, but this time we are getting deep, deep, deep into one specific email marketing strategy. We're talking list growth. Yeah, I know how much you guys love list growth. That is what we're going to be talking about in this episode with a stonker of a guest, an absolutely brilliant guest, someone we've had on the show before and who got more recommendations when I asked LinkedIn who I should be speaking to about email marketing than anyone else. So you're in for a treat. Yes, in this episode, we are looking at how you can increase the size of your email marketing database in the right way, not in the wrong way. Do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because at the end of the interview, my guest will be sharing some quickfire insider tips to help you maximize the performance of your email marketing. And then I'll be sharing my take on it all and outlining a couple of other free ways we can help you improve your email marketing even more. So stay tuned to the end. Are you on WooCommerce? Then you need to know about the amazing deal Omnisend have created just for WooCommerce users. If you switch to Omnisend now, you'll get 30% off for 3 months, plus a $1,000 migration package for free. So there's no reason to be scared about moving email platforms. The Omnisend team are going to help you. They're going to help you too import your contacts from your current email marketing plugin, help you set up custom welcome and abandon cart workflows, build 5 custom segments to improve your personalization, conversions and sales, create 2 pop-ups or sign-up forms for you that fit your brand and convert shoppers without being pushy, and set up a custom domain for your business so you're on top of all those new email deliverability requirements. How cool is that? So why not join the over 80,000 e-commerce brands using Omnisend today? Get that discount and amazing free migration package now via keepopt.com/woo. That's keepopt.com/WOO. In this episode, I'm chatting with email marketing expert Hannah Spicer. Hannah has been helping luxury brands sell more online, especially with their email marketing, since 2004, including roles at Harvey Nichols, Stella McCartney, De Beers, and Kurt Geiger. She now runs her own consultancy, Hannah Spicer Consulting, specializing in email marketing for an equally impressive list of luxury and fashion brands. Hello, Hannah.
Hi, Chloe. Thank you so much for having me back.
Brilliant to have you back. You were the most mentioned person on my LinkedIn post asking for guest suggestions, so kind of had to have you back, really.
How flattering. That's delightful to hear.
So how has it been in email marketing since we last caught up about 12 months ago?
Oh, it's been as exciting as it always is. Yes, it's brilliant. I mean, I think the big change for me is nearly everybody I speak to now is on Klaviyo, and they're looking to kind of continually optimize it. So whereas previously I was migrating lots of brands onto the platform, now nearly everybody is on there, which is great. And it's all about kind of auditing and optimizing and taking it to the next level. So yeah, it's been busy and very exciting.
And do you prefer the setting up everything from scratch or the looking at the data and working out how to improve things? Which is your more your bag?
Oh, good question. I think I do enjoy the auditing because I can always see those really juicy missed opportunities. So it makes me feel good that I'm bringing that kind of added value and I can see, you know, how we can really improve things. So yeah, I'd say that one.
I'm exactly the same. Back when I was doing Google ads for people, it was like, show me some data, show me where I can make some improvements. And so much more fun to be working on something where, like, I know I can drive the results here.
Yeah, it's very satisfying.
Yeah, it's not a leap into the unknown. Is their list any good? Is there any opportunity here? It's like, no, we know where we're starting and we know where we can get them. So I totally get that.
Totally.
So you're here to talk about one of the perennially exciting topics in email, which is get me more email. How do I get more email? So how do we go about building our database? Where should we start our chat about this in 2024?
First of all, I just want to start with a boring kind of warning, which is no one's going to give you prizes for having a bigger list if that list is unengaged. So I don't want people to think about their email list in the same way as, you know, people talk about social media followers. Like it shouldn't be a vanity metric. There's no point having a massive list and growing it in inorganic, is that a word, ways if those people aren't opening and clicking your emails. That's actually going to do you the opposite effect. It's going to kind of drive your sender reputation down. So yes, we want to grow our email list, but we want to grow them with the right people. And that should be people who are hopefully going to convert and buy with us. And the most effective way to do that really is on your own website, so on your e-commerce website. And the most effective way is with a really good pop-up. And there are loads of ways you can optimize that data capture pop-up that's sitting on your site.
So pop-up is still the tried and tested number one working solution. Despite all the changes we're getting in the tech landscape, it's still the pop-up.
Definitely. Yeah, that's where the majority of growth I see on people's lists comes from.
And I love the fact also that you started with that whole quality over quantity. It's about the right people, not about just a big old number, because I think people can lose track of that sometimes. So I hope we all know that if you put an offer, you'll get more volume, but you won't necessarily get more quality. So are you an advocate of quality over quantity to the point we're not putting an offer on our pop-up, or is an offer still part of the play?
I still am a fan of having a welcome offer. I think it's justified in terms of trying to, yes, grow your list, but also it's trying to get your new subscribers to shop with you for the first time. So that's a really important reason for bringing that incentive in. And I think from a lot of customers that is actually expected as well. So I do still think you should have a welcome offer, but I do think it's also very important to, in that sign up process, really get across the added value that people will get from being subscribed. So if you just say, as some sites do, get 10% off your first order, sign up, and you don't talk about actually by also subscribing, you'll be getting early access to our new products or exclusive offers or, you know, content that you won't get anywhere else. The problem is that you'll probably get a high unsubscribe rate on your welcome flow because people are literally signing up, getting the welcome offer, and then they're unsubscribing immediately. So I think it's important to make sure you've got a strong hook on the sign up and you have got the incentive there, but you're also communicating the value that people get from being subscribed to your emails.
Got you. So we need to start that, I guess, that journey of content with them from that first pop-up moment, not just go big flashing light, hello, 10% off.
Definitely. And you can reiterate that in the first welcome email as well. It's kind of like, I always say have a reminder to tell the customer of what they can expect now they're a subscriber. So just remind them, you know, you will be the first to receive XYZ. It just helps to kind of start that relationship off on a good foot.
Got you. And in terms of making our pop-ups perfect, what sort of things should we be testing or avoiding or definitely doing? Is there anything we don't even need to test? What's a good pop-up setup these days?
Yeah, great question. So I think timing is incredibly important. I definitely would say, as a general rule, it shouldn't appear as soon as somebody gets onto your website. Normally, if that happens, they will just close it to get it out of the way. It's more of an annoyance. Whereas if you can set some kind of time delay, it allows them to kind of have a look around the site first and decide if they actually do want to sign up or not. So definitely don't have it immediate, but you can split test different timings. So that could be after a certain amount of seconds or after they've scrolled or visited a certain amount of pages. You could even have it as they go to kind of exit the site as well. Don't show it to people who are already subscribed. It's a really quick and easy tip. And if you're building your form in Klaviyo, which I do for all my clients, you can set these all up very easily. Those are two key things. I think also thinking about how it appears on a mobile site is really important too. Again, you want to make sure that they can easily click out of it if they need to, if they want to get it out of the way. On that same kind of subject is I recommend having what's called a teaser in Klaviyo, which means if they do close it, they can reopen it again later on from a little kind of message in the bottom of their screen. So they might have a look around, decide, actually, I do want that welcome offer and I do want to sign up. It means they can easily reopen it again. But there are endless things you can A-B split test. It could be different imagery, different kind of call to action copy, different kind of titles and hooks in the copy, loads and loads of aspects of it. So I always recommend to clients to actually set up almost like an A-B split test plan, and this be something that you're continually running on your site and optimizing it, because it's so important for building your database.
I think it's one of those things you should constantly, endlessly testing. If new technology comes up, you know, if suddenly you're able to do number of pages, whereas before you could only do time or you could only do exit, and then all those messages. And I think with the way the economy in the world is at the moment, it feels like the messaging and the what's important to the customers is changing all the time anyway. So to be changing that headline seems like a no-brainer. I loved it when you mentioned about having the teaser bit, the bit that's still on the screen, even though the pop-up's gone, because there is two things. As a consumer myself, the two things that annoy me most about pop-ups are, one, you've got rid of it because it was too early and then you can't find it again. Unbelievably annoying. And the other one is that you click from their email and then you get asked to sign up again. And you're like, I literally clicked from your email. Maybe that's probably one because I'm in the industry. I'm like, I know this is easy. why are you bombarding me?
Yeah.
So the pop-up is the core of our list growth strategy. Anything else we should be adding into that? Anything else it's worth us doing?
I mean, I would always expect to see it on the footer of the website as well. I think that's a place that users are used to going to have a look. And then it's anywhere else that somebody might be putting in their email address on your site, if you can have an opt-in box underneath it. So it's standard to have it in a checkout box, obviously in their Shopify checkout. But if you've got additional functionality like account creation, wish list, email me when back in stock, these are all additional places that you could potentially ask for that marketing opt-in as well. And I do always remind clients to kind of regularly promote signing up to the email database on their social media channels as well. So they're trying to kind of cross-pollinate those audiences. And something that's working really well for a lot of kind of health and beauty brands that I'm working with are quizzes as well. So, you know, kind of getting the customer to create a bit more of a picture about what they like, what their problems they're trying to solve, and then asking for their email address at the end of that. That could be really effective because you can then pull that data and take them on a really kind of personalized journey afterwards.
Devil's advocate question then. If you're running a quiz, how much attention do you have to pay to the answers the person gave you when they were filling out the quiz? Because we all know that the psychological bit of getting someone to fill out a quiz, they get involved, and that's a boost in itself in terms of likelihood to purchase, in terms of sign up. But how important it is, if they told you they have a cat, not a dog, to only send them information about cats and never send them information about dogs?
That's a really good question. So I think, you know, the immediate response is kind of sending them an email to say, here are your quiz results. And hopefully that's got really targeted, personalised products in it. After that, I also think kind of a split path on a kind of welcome flow or a post-quiz flow that takes them down their result. And, you know, hopefully you haven't got 75 different versions of this, right? It could be 3 or 4 of your kind of main product offering, taking them on a kind of personalized journey about that particular choice. When you're sending your kind of business as usual campaigns, no, they don't all have to be completely targeted to that. It could be certain sections of them are most relevant. But yeah, I think all of your content hasn't got to be as a result of the quiz, but it can definitely help make certain journeys and certain sections feel more relevant to them.
Got you. I think for those who are thinking it might be a bit overwhelming to obey the quiz results, I think you've made it sound somewhat easier there. So that's cool. And then would you run a quiz pop-up and a normal pop-up, or would you split test the right one or show different people one and different people the other?
I mean, the pop-up is normally kind of a straight welcome offer for me, but the quiz is another section of the site, if you like. So I think people shop in different ways, and some people want to kind of go down that discovery process. Others are a bit potentially clearer on what product types they like, and they just kind of want that welcome incentive. So most clients I work with, the quiz is separate and it's for a different kind of customer. we still kind of drive them to that quiz in the welcome flow if we know that if someone does it, they're more likely to convert. So yeah, I tend to keep them separate.
Cool. More, see, loads of top tips from Hannah here. We knew this was going to be a good episode. I hope you're all enjoying this. You mentioned about promoting the email signups via the other channels. So you're not just always saying selling, you're also saying, why not sign up to our great email newsletter where you'll get X, Y, and Z? Do you ever advise anyone to go as far as a lead gen advert, like a Facebook lead gen ad where you capture the email addresses rather than send them through to the website to sign up?
So that's such a good question. I mean, I know that some clients run this in the lead up to Black Friday in particular, when they can say, to be the first to receive our Black Friday offers, sign up to our emails, and it is a lead gen ad. It really depends on that, kind of falls under their performance budget and that they're who they're working with on that, right? So I don't know how that performs in terms of, like, once they've got those subscribers, do they end up converting or not? So I think part of it depends on their budgets and what their performance agency or consultant are recommending. And I always say to clients, when you're doing any kind of different activities to grow your database, make sure that you're analysing the results of that. So if you do a competition or if you do run some ads, make sure you're then tracking those new subscribers to see, well, how many of them ended up converting into customers, so you know whether you should repeat it or not. If you know it works, then great, you can repeat it the following Black Friday, for example. But if it didn't, then don't spend your ad spend on that.
Yeah, it's like I've seen brands go, oh, we managed to get emails for £1 an email. It's amazing. It's like, yeah, but did any of them convert? and fundamentally, if you're paying for them, did they buy more than once? It can be so easy to get wowed by the immediate numbers rather than actually looking at the proper campaign. Any other things you see people doing that deserve that level of analysis? So we mentioned the Facebook ad piece. Is it competitions with magazines or things I've seen people do in the past, or like group viral offers and that sort of thing that are great for huge volume but not always so good for quality?
Yeah, I do see social media competitions, partnerships with other brands, giveaways. I always recommend, if you're doing something like that, to make sure that you've got almost like a copy of your welcome journey, but that speaks specifically to how those people came to you. So if you ran a partnership, let's say you did an editorial in Sheer Luxe, cloning your welcome email and driving those people to a separate welcome flow that kind of acknowledges where they came to you, and you might want to show them slightly different content and take them on a slightly different journey, so that you're nurturing those subscribers as much as possible, and then you're kind of tagging and analysing how that performed so you know whether to repeat it or not. I think that's the most common one. But in general, as I said, I think I advise to kind of limit those kind of activities. It's best to make sure the data capture on your website is optimized as best as possible. And then with your other channels, your kind of top of funnel channels, that you're driving awareness, you're driving traffic to your website, and then you're going to capture them once they're there.
Got you. Hannah, is there anything we miss we really should share about growing the database?
Oh, one other thing is to, in terms of what you're asking for on that pop-up data capture form, I'm a big believer in asking for the bare minimum up front. So just asking for the email address and having that really easy, clear submit call to action button. You can then, again, you can do this in Klaviyo, have almost like a second and third step to that form. So if you want to ask for mobile because you're doing SMS marketing or you're thinking about doing it soon, that can be a second step. You can ask for their first name and their birthday if you're running a kind of birthday flow or anything like that. But making sure it's stepped rather than having everything on that first form, which feels potentially overwhelming and off-putting to people, is performs much better in my experience. So yeah, that's one other tip to think about, of just asking for email address up front and then everything else you can build out afterwards.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think in about an hour after us finishing recording, I'd have gone, oh no, we didn't mention number of fields.
We didn't cover it.
So it's a brilliant addition. Thank you, Hannah. It's been great picking your brains about how to build your email database. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Hannah's insider tips on the whole of email marketing. Yes, we'll be setting her loose on the whole piece, and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Are you on WooCommerce? Then you need to know about the amazing deal Omnisend have created just for WooCommerce users. If you switch to Omnisend now, you'll get 30% off for 3 months, plus a $1,000 migration package for free. So there's no reason to be scared about moving email platforms. The Omnisend team are going to help you. They're going to help you too. Import your contacts from your current email marketing plugin, help you set up custom welcome and abandoned cart workflows, build 5 custom segments to improve your personalization, conversions and sales, create 2 pop-ups or sign-up forms for you that fit your brand and convert shoppers without being pushy, and set up a custom domain for your business so you're on top of all those new email deliverability requirements. How cool is that? So why not join the over 80,000 e-commerce brands using Omnisend today? Get that discount and amazing free migration package now via keepopt.com/woo. That's keepopt.com/WOO. Okay, Hannah, so far we've gone deep into how to build your database. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of email marketing. So for the following questions, your answers can be anything at all to do with email marketing, which of course includes everything we've already been talking about too. Hannah, are you ready?
Ready. Let's go for it.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
So I think one thing is to review what your competitors and what other kind of established retailers are doing. With email, that's really easy because you can sign up to their emails. On the topic of what we've been talking about, you can kind of review how they capture data on their site, see what works, what doesn't work, and also kind of go through some of their flows. So go through their welcome emails, go through their abandoned cart emails. These are all things that you can trigger yourself and kind of have a look at to get some inspiration and ideas from. And the other key thing really is to get on the right tool. And again, I would really recommend Klaviyo if you're in e-commerce as the best email tool to get started on. They've got lots of kind of blueprints and best practice built into the platform. So that's a really good place to start.
Awesome. I'm going to add a little something to the first part of your tip there, which is, as you sign up for your competitors' emails, don't do it with your main email account. Create a separate email account so you don't get inbox nightmare, basically. And then, and the other thing is, then it's an email account you can share with your team so that you can, everyone can have access to those emails as they're coming in live.
Oh, that's a brilliant tip.
That's one I learned the hard way on both sides of it. So I always have to add that one in. But yeah, definitely so easy to keep track of the competition on email. Definitely worth doing. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah, I think there's two things. I think one is making sure that you're monitoring your metrics. I think, you know, that can be by campaign send. So each time you send an email, a couple of days later, you're pulling out the results and actually looking in depth, you know, looking at the heat map of where people were clicking. So often clients that I speak to don't do that stage. They don't actually know, in terms of like the design and the content, what people are actually engaging with from that. And also obviously looking at kind of monthly metrics of your open, your clicks, your unsubscribes, and benchmarking against your industry for that. And the other way is by A/B split testing. So nearly everything is trackable within email marketing. And it's really easy to A/B split test all sorts of things for, in terms of optimizing your open rate, your click rate. So it could be the time that you send your emails. It could be a longer email versus a shorter email. It could be including prices of your products in the email versus not. Like, there are endless elements you can A/B split test. So kind of having a plan and a really clear strategy of attack for that, and then making sure you're continually measuring and testing.
Lovely. So much for you all to get your heads and your emails stuck into there. Now, if someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
So I share lots of tips on my Instagram and my emails that I send out each week, which you can sign up to on my website, which is hspicerconsulting.com, and also my LinkedIn. And also I would say, again, Klaviyo have tons of kind of lovely help articles that you can get started on. They have kind of qualification courses and also blueprints. If you're not really sure where to start with some of your flows, they do have some really great ideas set out in there, which you can get started with.
Yeah, email can be such a massive white sheet of paralysis. Anything which can help you get past there is always brilliant. Finally, Hannah, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
I mean, the US have been ahead of the UK on this for a while, but I'm definitely seeing more brands bringing SMS into their email platform and using these channels together in a really clever way. So, for example, within both campaigns, but also their flows, kind of bringing in an SMS path to their welcome and abandoned cart flows, which works so well together in one place. I think also kind of more targeting and segmentation. So I think, obviously, with people kind of bringing AI into their marketing even more, they're using that to kind of aid and make content creation easier and quicker, and also allowing them to kind of scale that personalization. And then finally, we've already had the kind of email authentication update this year, but potentially more of that side of things, with more people kind of introducing, is it Bimmy or Bibi? I don't know how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I only came across that one a couple of weeks back. I was like, I'd been admiring everyone having logos in their inboxes with no idea. I thought that was just some lucky, you know, big enough, you get it. And now I'm becoming slowly more and more obsessed.
Yeah, so I wonder if there's going to be more adoption of that as well.
I think it's like the updates that have happened this year have got everyone a little bit more aware of their DNS and their DMARCs and all the techie stuff that goes alongside email. And then you kind of, once the box is open, you're like, what else can I put in the box? And I think Bimmy's going to fall in, or however we're saying it, is going to fall into that one. So yeah, it's going to be, dare we say, it's going to be an interesting year in deliverability circles.
Yes. Oh my gosh, totally.
Okay, Hannah, before we go off on that tangent, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business if they'd like to get in touch?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn at Hannah Spicer. My website is hspicerconsulting.com, where you can sign up to my emails. And I'm on Instagram at Hannah Spicer Consulting.
And I'm going to advise you to do all three of those things, because Hannah's email updates are great, her LinkedIn updates are great, and her Instagram updates are great. So yeah, go and do that, all of you, straight after you finish listening to this episode. Hannah, thank you so much for coming on the Keep Optimizing podcast again and yet again, sharing so much with the audience. We really, really appreciate it. So thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
There you go. A lovely masterclass in exactly what's working in list growth at the moment. And the real key there is quality over quantity. If someone's already responded to your marketing, they've got as far as your website, they're going to be higher quality than someone who clicks an ad on Facebook or is part of a partnership deal. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do those. You just need to be careful and analyze those results, as we were saying. But don't do those before you've properly optimized the stuff you're doing on your website to convert those people you've already worked hard to get to the website onto your email list, and then to get them to convert to buyer. So loads of great tips and advice there from Hannah. Well, we knew it was going to be a good episode, didn't we? You can get the links of all the things we discussed, the full transcript of this episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. Or you can use our special direct episode short links to go directly to the right page of the website. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar, and you'll go straight to the correct page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then why not check out episode 141 from last year, where Hannah and I are discussing high converting flows. So we're getting deep into email for luxury brands, but also the key flows you should be putting on your email system to generate the best sales from your best customers. And you can find all our email marketing episodes by scrolling up your feed and looking for the word email, weirdly enough, or by using the short link keepopt.com/email. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many marketers as possible to improve the performance of their e-commerce marketing. Have a great week, and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Are you on WooCommerce? Then you need to know about the amazing deal Omnisend have created just for WooCommerce users. If you switch to Omnisend now, you'll get 30% off for 3 months. plus a $1,000 migration package for free. So there's no reason to be scared about moving email platforms. The Omnisend team are going to help you. They're going to help you too. Import your contacts from your current email marketing plugin, help you set up custom welcome and abandoned cart workflows, build 5 custom segments to improve your personalization, conversions and sales, create 2 pop-ups or sign-up forms for you that fit your brand and convert shoppers without being pushy, and set up a custom domain for your business so you're on top of all those new email deliverability requirements. How cool is that? So why not join the over 80,000 e-commerce brands using Omnisend today? Get that discount and amazing free migration package now via keepopt.com/woo. That's keepopt.com/WOO.